keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
All right, we're going to finish out with some calls from you, the listeners. Questions for Bob Delaney, environmental specialist, the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, who's been testing water across the state for a good part of his career and finding things that, well, he wouldn't eat the fish in the Ausable River near Wordsmith Air Force Base, I can tell you that, and some other concerns. Let's go to Rob checking in. Rob, what's on your mind?
Hi there. Thanks for the call, or thanks for taking my call. I got a question. So he was talking about when a plane actually does catch fire and they use the chemicals to put it out, that they dig up the dirt around that area. And what do they do with that dirt once they dig it up? Because I was reading recently there was a deal that happened back in the 70s where some chemical plant in St. Louis, Michigan ended up getting some bad chemicals into the food for cattle, and they had to kill off a whole bunch of cattle all throughout the state, and they buried them all somewhere near Kalkaska. And I heard that all that's now seeping into the ground as well.
All right, Rob, thanks for the call. That'd be the PBB.
Right.
Disaster of the 1970s. It was the headlines for years here in Michigan that he's talking about. So I understand his point. So what happens when the plane catches fire and you have this situation wherever it is? What do you do with the soil?
Well, it's kind of a challenge right now. We're having difficulty disposing of just drill cuttings because the landfills don't want to take it right now. Landfills now are nothing like the 70s landfills. You know, they've got liners and leachate collection, and they do a whole lot of stuff to
that's
keep
no
that
fun.
From happening.
Yeah, there's no fun in that.
Yeah.
Where's the excitement? We're not rolling the dice there.
Right. So that's one way you can get rid of it is put it into a well-designed landfill that are designed specifically for very dangerous chemicals. The other thing you can do is incinerate this. At very, very high temperatures, you can incinerate this. It's just not your normal incinerator, but something that really heats very high and break the chain. Yep.
All right. Reminds me of Fleetwood Mac. All right, let's go to Ryan. Ryan, checking in on the hotline. By the way, we got room for one more call, 888-900-9966. Ryan, what's on your mind? Ryan, are you there?
This is Brian, yes?
Oh, Brian, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
Yes, that's all right. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. What's up? What are your thoughts?
I have a question. I own a water treatment company over by Flint, Michigan, and Grayling area is near and dear to my heart. I have a place on the lake up there, and I have a lot of close friends, and one of my closest friends that I have up there has had the highest level tested to date at over 100 parts per trillion. I took it upon myself to do the research of what type of carbons and what type of materials will actually take this out of the house, because I don't believe there's anything NSF approved that's designed to take it out of the entire home. They are handing out drinking water systems that are NSF approved, and so I put this system into his home, and I'm having trouble trying to find anybody to get the water tested. They kind of seems to be slow rolling. He's trying to get this water tested. I want to see if this product is actually working. And the product that I use, I believe, is actually what they've used over in the Alpena area. It's an engineered carbon by a very large carbon manufacturer. And so I put this system in upon my cost just because he has a lot of kids in the family. And I'm trying to find out what it would take for me to get maybe the DEQ to get in there and get this water tested and maybe do a 6 month or a year long study on this to find out if it is actually taken out of the water for this family.
Well, that's really important, Brian, to understand, you know, whether it works or not. And I think that you're onto it there. So I appreciate the call and Brian, I know him a little bit. He runs a water treatment company over there in Flint, Michigan, and they're treating these things. And that's the next question. If you go out and buy this not inexpensive system, is it going to work? Is it going to help your family? Is it going to protect them? So I ask you, Bob, I mean, apparently it's harder to get tested than we thought.
Well, one of the problems with the testing, the labs generally don't want to work with one-time individual samples, and they want, you know, to do batches and things like that. So that's one.
So
of
they
the,
make money. It's about money for them, I suppose. Well, anyhow,
yeah,
go on.
Yeah. So that is a problem for individuals. As far as what will happen up in Grayling, I can't speculate on that. That's not in my hands, and so I don't even know what the process is up there right now. I want to say the governor is taking the Grayling situation very seriously. He knew about it before I did, which is unusual when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah.
And he's bringing in an outside expert to talk about these very, very issues about the health effects and problems to advise him and the state on these. So Governor Snyder's taking some of those recommendations.
Compared to Flint, let's just do that, because Governor Snyder took a lot of heat for what happened in Flint.
Right.
I don't know if a lot of it unfairly, I would say, for a variety of reasons, to blame him for everything that happened in Flint. However, if he's taking this seriously, that's a good step in the right direction. And I would be hopeful that your advice would be, we need to do a lot more testing, Governor. Mm-hmm. We need to go out and test all over Michigan. Governor, I hope you're listening. And because in order to find out the problem, we have to understand the problem. Is that correct?
Yeah. You really have to understand and strategically protect people.
All right. So let's go to the, all right, we got Mike. We'll do one more call. Mike in Diamonddale, what's on your mind?
Hey, Steve. I just want to thank Mr. Delaney for coming forward and being so open, and also including God as part of the solution. That is commendable. I really appreciate that. Really do.
All right, Mike. Thank you for checking in. And I think I got to say the same thing, Bob. I mean, it took, I know your attorney's here, but it took a certain amount of courage to be here to tell the truth about what we're facing. And I think that I appreciate it. And I don't know if we're taking this long with any guest ever on the program. So you've got about a minute here. I'll give you the last word on this conversation today that I'm sure will be going on for a long time to come.
All right. Well, just, I really thank you for giving me the chance to talk about this, to kind of put this stuff in context. I really, really am concerned for people. Why I went into this business, it wasn't, I was choosing between oil and environmental, and I decided for ethical reasons that go the environmental route. And so I'm really appreciative of what you're doing right now, getting this information out to the public. And I'm appreciative of how you've done your research, and you know a lot in a short amount of time. So just thank you for giving me this opportunity. And then people need to realize there are a lot of good people at the state that really want to help people and protect people.
All right, and do the right thing. And if you can't figure out how to get your water tested, I'd be proactive and err on the side of caution. Filter your water.
Yep.
I'll have a couple of final thoughts for the program in just a moment. Special thanks to Bob Delaney, our environmental specialist from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. It's Wednesday. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.